Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now here in Matthew chapter 5, we have another short parable, or similitude as we've been referring to them. You may, at the first reading of this, you may wonder why it's called a similitude, but I hope by the end of this message you'll see why. That it is indeed an earthly story which speaks of heavenly or spiritual things. Now this verse, let's go ahead and read these two verses. Matthew 5, verse 25. Matthew 5, verse 25. Our Lord says, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily, truly I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now this verse has always puzzled me somewhat because I've never really studied it very closely. But I have this time, and I believe it is particularly applicable to us here, to some of us anyway, in light of the persecution that some of us have been experiencing for the truth's sake. Now, there's no doubt here from this scripture that our Lord is speaking or giving practical instruction here to us to pay our debts. That's certainly part of the meaning here. He's given us instruction to pay our debts so as not to be found lawless and suffer the consequences. But this has a far deeper spiritual sense. That is the very root of the gospel itself, these two passages of Scripture. Now, the cry goes up in this day for Christian unity, for peace, for reconciliation among different denominations and among different professing Christians. Now, every true believer, don't get me wrong here, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Every true believer is peaceable, is gentle, is loving, is compassionate, and so forth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to these very things. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Now, the Apostle Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel. So it's noteworthy what he's saying here. He had compassion upon his enemies. He says here in verse 1 of Ephesians 4, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, or in the Lord, I beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, that is, as a believer, a disciple of Christ, with all lowliness, that is, as Christ walked, in lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul exhorts believers to unity and to peace. He does. And he says here, because we are one body, verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Because we're all members of Christ's body. We're the church. We're members one of another. So let's treat each other with long suffering and forbearance. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. In another place, he speaks of the unity of the faith. Well, is everybody, though? Everybody that professes to be a Christian, is this speaking about everybody? That we're to have peace with all men. Is it? Everyone who professes to be a Christian? No. Christ said, many are doing and saying many things in my name. Yet he said, I don't know these people. They're not my sheep. He said in another place that many people draw near to me with their lips. This people draw near to me with their lips. They profess a good profession, but their hearts are far from me. Far from me. Well, here's the distinction in verse 5. The distinction between a true believer, or of a true believer, is we have one Lord. One Lord. And the reason we have one Lord is because we've been called. This is the hope of your calling, that you have one Lord. This is the proof of your calling. You see that there's one Lord, capital L. One Lord. Do all men believe this? Do they really believe that Jesus Christ is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord? I mean, not just in creation, but in salvation, in all things. He has men's eternal souls in his hand. Do all men that profess to be Christians believe that? John, do they? No way. You know it's not so. But Christ said, all thy children shall be taught of God. All God's people are taught that Christ is indeed Lord. And they bowed to him as such. But all men and women do not. All that profess the name of Christ, or that is, profess that they are Christians, do not bow to the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. No, they do not. I'm just stating a fact. I hope I state that with sadness. One Lord. Look at this, verse 5. One faith. One faith. What is our faith? What is the faith? It's a person, right? And this sums up our faith. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel. Do men believe that? Do all professing Christians worship God in spirit? That is, they're not trying to worship God with an outward show, but rather worshiping him in the heart, and they're rejoicing in Christ and Christ alone, not their works. And put no confidence in the flesh, not even their own. Do they? That's the three marks of a true believer, isn't it? Are men doing that? Are women doing this? No. No. Do all men and women that profess to be Christians, do they account their righteousness as filthy rags? Ask them. No, they do not. Paul said they're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of Christ. He said that with tears. He said, I wish I could be accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I bear them record they have a zeal. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, he says. One baptism. Well, listen to this. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, we have received the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And he goes on to say, we have the mind of Christ. John said in one place, we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Try saying that someday, publicly. But he just said that we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. If you're a believer, you have to be able to say that with some degree of certainty. That you have the mind that He's revealed, that they that are spiritual discern or understand all things. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. But some people in this day and age are saying there's another baptism of the Spirit, aren't they? Some people are saying the Holy Spirit is concerned with you living the higher life, that He's concerned with you being healthy, wealthy, talking in tongues, Spirit-filled, not just being taken up with the things of Christ, not just taking the things of Christ and showing them unto you. The Spirit's got more to do. Is that the Holy Spirit that we know the Scripture speaks of? No, it is not. And we know how that's sweeping the world, don't we? Isn't it? It is. That movement is sweeping the world. He says, one God, verse 6, one God. And our God says, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Do all professing Christians believe that? Oh, no, Stan, they have free will. Not God's will. Their will, right? One Father. Christ said to some religious leaders, I mean some outwardly moral, religious, zealous folks back then, He said, you are of your father, the devil, didn't He? Did He say that? Man, that's awful hard. Awful hard. Well, if God is the Father of those who profess to believe Him, will they rebel against His absolute parental authority? Oh, no. That's the first sign of adoption. They bow to their sovereign Father, the fear of their Father. Is that not the first mark of a true child of God? So I ask this, are we to endeavor to have peace and unity with all men everywhere, no matter what they believe? Is that what Paul's talking about? Well, bear with me. He said in another place, as much as is possible, as much as is possible, live peaceably with all men. That's what he said. We are not to strive with men. We're not to argue. We're not to ridicule. We're not to be contentious or look down upon people, but we are to love them, forgive them, show compassion to them, and pray for them, even our enemies. Even those that despitefully use us, Christ said, didn't He? Yes, we are. We're not to cut off anyone or be offensive, that is, in ourselves, to anyone. There's no excuse for us being offensive to anyone. We're commanded not to be so. We're warned not to be so. But nevertheless, Christ said, you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. Didn't it? Didn't it? Huh? He said, many shall be offended in you. Didn't it? That's what he said. Look over at John 15. Turn to John chapter 15. Well, we say, you know, we go out and we speak to somebody, we tell them the truth from God's Word, and they get mad at us, and we see their hatred, and we say, why? What have I done? Why is he mad at me? I just read the Word of God to him. Why is he mad at me? And they may, what have I done? And they may say, well, we don't want to stone you, or we're not getting mad at you because of a good work. See if this sounds familiar. We're not mad at you because of anything you've done. Oh, you're a decent enough fellow. You're moral enough. We like the way you're a good citizen and so forth, but because you are a man, you're no different than I am, and you claim to know the mind of God, and I don't. I won't have that. You claim you're right, and I'm wrong. I won't have that. We won't have. You claim that the God has revealed to you the truth and not me. Who do you think you are, man? Look at John 15 here. Look at verse 17. Christ said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Don't forget that, first of all. But verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my saying and heard me, they'll keep yours also, but they haven't. And they won't. But all these things, he said, will they do unto you for my name's sake, for my glory, because of my glory. They're doing it against me. It's not you they hate. Because they know not him that sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. I've exposed their self-righteousness and their sin, and they don't like it. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father and you. Look at chapter 17. Our Lord is praying to the Father here, speaking of his disciples. If you believe God, you're one of his disciples. He's praying about you here. Look at John 17, verse 8. He says, Father, I've given unto them, that is my people, those that you gave me. I've given them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them. They believe them. Every one of them. Bow to them. Love them. They received them. And they know surely that I came out from them. They know who I am. That I'm Lord. I'm God. I'm their only hope. They know that. And they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. There's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. And it availeth much. He said, I pray not for the world, though. Excuse me. But for them which God has given me. For they are thine. Look at verse 14. He says, Father, I've given them thy word. And the world has hated them. Because they're not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Boy, sometimes we pray for that. Don't get me out of this. Can't take it anymore. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. From turning back. They are not of the world. Even as I am not. Well, one more. Look over at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I hope this message will give you strength and courage and comfort. 1 John chapter 4 and resolve. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 5. John says, they, who's they? Antichrist. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. They're talking about a worldly, earthly kingdom. They're talking about things concerning this world. They're not worshiping God in spirit, rejoicing in Christ. No, they're talking about this world. About what you can do, what I can do, what they have done. This world. They're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them gladly. And they flock to hear them. Great throngs of people, don't they? Verse 6, we are of God. Can you say this? We are of God. He that knows God hears us. If I'm worth my salt, Violet, I've got to be able to say this. Don't we? Rick, if you're an ambassador of Christ, if you're one of his people, you've got to be able to say this. I'm of God. Not bragging about it, but believing that He's revealed himself to you. He that knows God will hear what I have to say through his word. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What's the spirit of truth? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. That's the spirit of truth. What's the spirit of error? Universal love of God, free will, all these things. That's the spirit of error. Many ways to God. Everybody's going That's the spirit of it. Here, we know this, don't we? Because we have the mind of Christ. He's revealed this thing to us. Thank God. We're thanking Him. We're exalting Him for doing this. And listen, have your attention. If you dare to believe out loud, if you dare to believe out loud, if you dare to boldly say there's only one gospel, and repeat with the Apostle Paul, if any man preach any other gospel than that that we have preached, he's going to hell. Oh, that's narrow and bigoted. It's true. If you believe, if you can't say this, perhaps you don't know the gospel. Right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. One gospel. Paul said there's many preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel, it's a perversion of the gospel, didn't he? He said they'll come preaching another Jesus, didn't he? Which is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And if any man preach any other gospel than that we have preached, who? Me, Jim Burton, Scott Richardson, Tim James, Keith Mayman, Henry Mahan, the gospel, the very gospel that we preach. If any man preaches anything other than that, let him go to hell. That's we've got to be able to say that if we believe what we say we believe, right? Got to. If you dare to take a and mark it down, get ready. Get ready. If you dare to take a stand for the truth like this, you're going to have some enemies. We're going to have some adversaries. Not going out trying to pick a fight. But we're going out trying to glorify our God first and foremost, above all else. If I seek to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ, right? Look at Matthew chapter 10 with me. Matthew chapter 10. Now, we read those Old Testament scriptures. Does that not apply today? Where Moses said, get your swords in. Didn't he? He got up and gave the call, didn't he? Invitation, if you want to call it that. Who's on the Lord's side? He said. Who? And we say the same thing. Who? And whoever lines up, that's God's people. And whoever shakes their fist, get your sword out. This. And cut them asunder. They're the enemy of God. Right? You know, after Moses did that, though, he prayed to God that God wouldn't destroy them all. He prayed to God, cut me off. Wipe me out. If you're going to get them, kill them all. See, that's the spirit to do this thing. Look at Matthew 10 with me. Matthew 10, verse 22. Christ said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Mark it down. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. When they persecute you in this city, what city? Rocky Mountains. Flee ye into another. Verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they've called the master of the house, the pure and holy, spotless Son of God, called him a devil. What are they going to call you? What are they going to think of you? How much more shall they call him of his household? Fear not them, therefore. There's nothing covered. Listen. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak you in light. What you hear in the ear, preach it on the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. You know, we don't even have to fear that. There's nothing they can do to us physically. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here it is. Here it is. Here's the beginning of all understanding. What? Fear of the Lord. Right? That's the beginning of all understanding. You people have this fear in you. But what is the indictment against the people back then and the people of this generation? There's no fear of God before their eyes, right? And this is the beginning of all error, isn't it? This is the very beginning of all error, all spiritual heresy, religious heresy. No fear of God before their eyes. And this is it. This is getting back. You say, what in the world has this got to do with Matthew 5:25? Well, the Scripture says there, fear God. Don't fear man, fear God. Why? Well, men do not realize that by nature, our greatest adversary is this holy, righteous, sovereign, just God. God. Look back at the text in Matthew 5. God. He who is of too pure eyes to look upon iniquity. He who is angry with the wicked every day. He who hates all workers of iniquity. He who will by no means clear the guilty. He who the Scripture says is a consuming fire is our, by nature, our adversary. And this is why we urgently and adamantly insist that men first do what? Bow. Bow down. Not accept Jesus. Bow. See, they don't know Jesus if they think He's up for acceptation. And are we become their enemy because we tell them the truth? Because we insist that men repent for the King. He's King. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The King, His wrath hovers over. Are we men's enemies for telling them that? You'd think so, wouldn't you? This is why we insist that men submit to and believe the gospel. The gospel. The only gospel. The word of truth. The only thing that's able to save a man. To make a man holy and righteous and accepted by God the Father. The only gospel. This other gospel won't do it. Which is another gospel. And we call it the gospel of peace. But it ain't no peace we make with God, is it? And that's what men think, isn't it? He's made his peace with God. It ain't the peace we make with God. It's the peace God's Son's made with God for us, isn't it? By the blood of His cross. You see, Christ, it hasn't changed in it. Christ is the high priest, our great high priest. He's got to go in the Holy of Holies with that blood. Doesn't he? Himself. Nobody else. The one chosen, Nancy, from among the people. God's high priest. He's got to go in Himself. We get near, we're gone. God's going to cut us off, right? We try to approach God without our high priest, without the blood. We're cut off, right? That's what men are doing. That's what men and women are doing. But Christ has to come before God Himself with His own precious, holy, spotless blood and pour it over the altar. Cover our broken sins. Pour it over the mercy seat, the broken law. It's the gospel of peace, all right. But it's the peace made by the blood of His cross. That's the peace we're talking about, the gospel peace. Christ said He didn't come to send peace on this earth. There ain't going to be peace on this earth. He says as long as you're on this earth, there's going to be wars and rumors of war. They're going to hate you. You're going to have enemies, adversaries, and so forth. The peace you need is with God. Right? That's the peace men need. And it's called the gospel of reconciliation. Scott Richardson said, stack your guns. That's what it means to reconcile to God. Throw down your weapons and come out with your hands up. That's what it is to believe God. Come savingly by faith. Throw down your righteousness like blind Bartimaeus and come out clinging to Christ. That's what it is. This gospel of reconciliation. your weapons of rebellion. Throw down your self-righteousness. And our great mediator will reconcile us to God. These aren't hard sayings, are they? It's truth. You reckon, you know, a man's house is on fire, and you're yelling, "Get out of the house is on fire! Come on, man! Man, y'all, don't yell so loud. Y'all so hard. You're being awful hard on my ear. Man, you're dying." You see what I'm saying? God is holy. Repent or perish. It's still the same today, isn't it? The message is still the same. Well, men are condemned. Bow, repent, believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and then thou shalt be saved. But no other way. Carry the message the same, isn't it? But if you dare to preach this and tell men this, you're going to be thought of as the most old-fashioned, bigoted, hard-nosed, negative, every negative adjective you can use in the book. You're going to be called it. Judge not. Christ said, judge righteous judgment, didn't he? Judge not. That's like my kid going down the street corner, some drug pusher. Got some drugs, and he gives them to her, and I start blasting, go down there, and I grab a fellow by the throat and just beating him to a pulp, and somebody, some Christian comes on, I'm judge not. Man, she's sending my daughter to, she's going to kill her. What do you mean, judge not? That doesn't even really bear dealing with, does it? John called them snakes, vipers, didn't he? Our Lord, woe unto you hypocrites. Matthew 23, didn't he, Rick? All the way through it. And then he talked about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And then the lawyers came up and said, well, if you're talking about them, you're talking about us too. And then he started in on them. Woe unto you lawyers too. I'll get you too. Well, if by God's grace men and women do bow, and it will be only by God's grace, the goodness of God will lead a man to accept Jesus as a personal Savior? No, to repentance. It's a gift of God to bow down, to realize who God is and bow in the dust. That's a gift of God. They say, God wants you to live the higher life. No, God wants you to live a lower life, doesn't it? In the dust. Contrite, broken. He said, this is the man I'll dwell with. Him that's broken of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. That's the life I want him to live. Looking to me, you know, looking up to me. There's only one place to look when you're all the way down is up. And if God, by God's grace, men and women do this, then we can boldly say, goodness. If men and women bow before God, then we can say with a smile on our face, good news, God loves you, and Christ died for you. It is. You're in the dust as a sinner before God, good news. God loves you, and Christ died for you, but not before. They got it backwards, don't they? Well, they don't even have repentance in the picture. They have it as some Roman road, you know, repeat after me. Gracious sake. That's drawing near with your lips, isn't it? When your heart's far from, repeat after me. Okay, repeat after me. I, John, am a sinner. Oh, my. Where's a heart broken over sin? I think if a man really believed he was a sinner in the hands of an angry God like Jonathan Edwards preached about, he couldn't get through that. He, for crying out. And he'd tell that old soul winner, get out of my way, man. Get out of my way. This thing, back to Matthew 5. We'll get to the text. Matthew 5. This thing is too urgent, you see, to play games. It's too urgent. It's too urgent. It's too serious to mince words. Isn't it? Like I said, like a man in a burning building. There's no way you can politely say you're dying, is it? And men would have us do that. Don't use these terms such as election and you know, from the sole of our feet to the top of our head where no soundness is, nothing but
wounds and bruises and putrefying. Oh, don't say things like that. That offense. Oh, so that's the offense of the cross, isn't it, there? There we apologize for God's word. It's the power of God. It's too urgent to, it's too serious to mince words, to beat around the bush. The word here says in verse 25, agree with your adversary. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can a man claim to be a disciple of Christ, claim to be a child of God, unless he agrees with God Almighty about what God says about himself, about what God says about him themselves, and about what God says about his son? Can you walk? No way. Agree with your adversary. Look at it here. Verse 25. Quickly. See that? Quickly. Christ is coming soon. We studied this last Sunday morning. Are we living in the end times? Ain't no doubt about it. I don't know how much longer it's going to go on. I don't know. But it's obvious. He said you ought to know the parable of the fig tree. You ought to be able to see these things. You ought to be able to discern the time. He said that, well, we're not turned over to Luke 14, I believe it is. You can look at it later. But he said you ought to be able to understand these things. Luke 12. Last part of Luke 12. Look it up sometime. Christ is coming soon. Sooner than we think. He said at a time when you think not, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, trumps will sound. Dead in Christ shall rise. And then he whose countenance is as the sun that shineth in all its strength, whose feet burn like fine brass, whose voice is the sound of many waters, is going to come. We better bow and believe now, haven't we? We better bow and believe now. Quickly. Agree quickly. Now. Well, look at it. It says, while thou art in the way with him. While it is called the day, the scripture says, hear his voice. What's his voice? His voice has been speaking all night tonight, hasn't it? While it is called today, hear his voice. I must have quoted, we must have read 25 scriptures so far this morning, this evening. Today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. Look at it. He says, while you're in the way with it, lest at any time. And the scripture says in Job 14, we have an appointed time, doesn't it? It says, man's days, numbers determined with God. God has appointed our bounds we cannot pass. Valid, it may be October 26, 9 a.m. You're gone. Better agree quickly. Right? Right now. Lest at any time. This is not fatalism, is it? It's just the Word of God, isn't it? That's all it is. It's just solemn Bible warnings, isn't it? Whereunto we do well to take heed. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let these sayings sink down in your ears, Christ said. Lest at any time, it could be real soon, and look at it. Lest at any time, verse 25, the adversary deliver you to the judge. Who's that? The Father hath committed all judgment to who? The Son. The Son. Christ has the keys of hell and death at his side, doesn't he? That ain't the Jesus we're hearing today, is it? The judge of the living and the dead? Huh? He gives eternal life to as many as he pleases, to as many as God delivers or gives to him, doesn't it? If God gives a man a spirit, and his mercy and grace gives him the spirit of repentance, of reconciliation, of agreement, to agree with God on all counts, that's faith. That's all faith is, isn't it, Terry? Agreeing with God. Abraham's called the father of the faithful. Why? He was the first one called a faithful man. Why? He believed God. He agreed with God. God said, I'm going to make of your seed as the stars of the sky, and thy seed my people shall be called. Okay. I agree. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I agree. So be it. He agreed with God. That's what faith is.
Well, if God gives you that spirit of agreement, then salvation is yours eternally. Eternal salvation. Free from condemnation. Free. But if God delivers you to Christ in that great day of judgment, and you've been in disagreement, if somebody has been in disagreement with God, I don't like this sovereign grace stuff. He says the judge then, look at it, verse 25, will deliver you to the officer. Who's the officer? That's the death angel. He'll deliver you to the officer, and the officer is going to cast you into prison. Christ is going to give commandment to the death angel someday to say, bind them hand and foot and cast them in the lake of fire. Isn't it? And what he says, everybody in disagreement with me, who's on the Lord's side? Take the rest of them, bind them hand and foot, cast them in the lake of fire. Right? Where the worm dies not, the scripture says. Barnard called it God's bloodhound. He said it's the memory. The memory. Son, remember. The rich man heard that from Abraham. All he does. Son, remember. 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 And it's going to, you know, men, free willers that are in disagreement with God are going to hear hauntingly, echo through their head all the days of their life. Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. They're going to hear that all the days of their life. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. They're going to hear that. Son, remember. You heard it, rejected it. And now remember. Right? Well, verse 26, verily I say unto thee, you'll not come out. Thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And that's never. Because we can't pay for our sins, can we, Terry? Why? Because our sins are against the infinite God. Can't satisfy. No. The stain's too deep to wash out with our works. There's only one thing to wash that stain out. The blood reaches deeper, the song says, deeper than the stain has gone. Only one thing will wash out that stain. Not our blood. It's got to be perfect, pure, spotless, the blood of God's Son itself. Only His blood. Only one thing will pay the debt that we owe. It's too big. Barber's too great. We owe too much. We ain't got the price. Only one thing will pay that debt. Only one thing, and He has it. Christ has the ransom price. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's only His blood. Only His blood. Not His blood and our blood. His blood is the only price that will pay that. Well, I'm going to bow to Him. I'm going to agree with Him. By His grace, now. Now. I'm going to bow to Him now. I'm going to agree with Him now by His grace. We need to ask ourselves this. Are we more concerned with the glory of God or saving face? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. Well, I read it over there. We've read it so many times that we've grown, I know I have. I've grown kind of callous to it or something, hardened to it. Christ said, you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the angels of heaven. Did He say that? Who's on the Lord's side? Rick, we need this desperately, don't we? Choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, serve Him. If God is God, serve Him. Act like you believe Him. Are we more concerned with the glory of God or saving face? Do we want to be the friend of God or the friend of men? What does the Scripture say? Friend of the world, enemy of God. Doesn't it? And if it's God we fear, God we believe, and God that we serve, then we need to be zealous for His glory and His honor above all else.
cost what it may. Count the cost. This is what Christ is talking about here. Count the cost. Lay down your life. Lay down your reputation. Lay down your good standing. Is that what... Am I telling the truth according to God's Word? Yes, I am. We need to be concerned for men's souls. Yes, we do. We need to be concerned for the souls of men and women and compassionately tell them the truth about God and about themselves and about Christ. But you might become their enemy because you tell them the truth. Well, there's no might to it. Many you will. You will. But if you are, Christ said, rejoice. That's what he said in all his stuff. That's what he said. Even family. He said, rejoice. If they won't receive you, he said, shake the dust off and go somebody else. Shake the dust off. You'll at least have served your Lord faithfully. And their blood won't be on your hands. Their blood won't be on your hands. Well, I told you it's a solemn message, but we need this desperately. Desperately. I need this desperately. We're living in a day, my soul, I'm not being negative. I'm just telling like it is, aren't I, Rick? We're living in a day that men are just flat blaspheming our God and the gospel. Refuse to believe, like we've said so many times, anything but the gospel. And if you believe the and know the gospel as it is, you've got to see. You've got to be able to distinguish. You've got to be able to discern the false gospel from the real gospel. If you know the gospel, you will. You'll spot it. You got your ear tuned to middle C, don't you? And you'll spot it a mile away. You'll hear it. People say, well, he said some good things. Big deal. Big deal. If he didn't say the good news, the whole counsel of God, now that God purposed salvation, Christ had to purchase salvation, and the Holy Spirit has to apply salvation. If he ain't preaching that, he ain't preaching the gospel. That ain't the gospel. And let him be accursed. And everybody that believes it's going to be accursed. And we need to tell men so. Get out of the building. It's burning. It's burning. God help us. God help us. Stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer.